Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love, one man for my
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
This is a podcast in which... All right, let me give you the sort of the elevator pitch. That's what we say in this entertainment industry. We call the entertainment industry. People smooch on TV and sometimes they make love and we get to watch. Welcome to The Bachelor.
At no point in your pitch did you say what...
Rose Buddies is?
Yeah.
I realize that now. So you get to watch us watch people make love. It's like...
No, watching.
No, you don't watch us. You listen to us watch people make love, and we describe the faces we make during that process. And boy, did we watch people make love, sort of metaphorically speaking. We watch them sort of, essentially we watch them clean sort of the love slime off themselves after an evening of just filming that yurt up with they stank, you know?
Do you want to hop right into what you call those yurts?
So I was enticed. By how many yurts these people made love in this episode of The Bachelor, because we are in Finland, and Finland is known to have a yurt from time to time. Another thing I discovered, I love reindeer. We talked about reindeer for a long time. I think they're great. They're just like big dogs.
They got the fuzziest faces.
They got fuzzy faces, and they got the temperament of dogs, but the body of a deer. I love all of it. But there's so many yurts, and they had sex in all of them, and so it was crass.
It's hard to start off the top of the show with this,
hard.
Isn't it?
It's challenging, because I call them squirt yurts, and it's not good. Like, I recognize it's not a good thing to say out loud. And it's sometimes, I was trying to be shocking to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wrote it down to make
you
sure.
You did write it down to make sure I said squirt yurt on the air. Well, there it is, everybody. I'm not perfect, okay? Squirt yurt. Actually, this is a great transition.
So if you'll remember last week, our big cliffhanger was Will Raven.
I can't fucking believe this televised TV show.
Raven, who has never... had an orgasm from intercourse with a man.
Yes.
Will she have an orgasm with Nick?
Gersm.
And the climax of that cliffhanger is kind of cheesy.
It's like, it shows them like snuggling, and she's like got a robe wrapped around her, and it's playing that boom, 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 boom music. God, that was a really good impression of the song that played.
That was.
And that song may as well be titled, She Didn't Have an Orgasm. Like, it's like, something went wrong. Uh-oh, something's kind of hinky
here.
But
then they twist it on you.
Yeah, then they twist it on you because she revealed...
She said, quote, it was good to be alone physically with him.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want
to
say too much, but...
And then, he's really good at what he does, so I'm feeling pretty satisfied this morning.
And then it fucking may as well, like... Wake me up before you go, like, fucking montage of Raven frolicking through the snow. And I saw some people, the group was very hit or miss on this. There are a lot of people who thought that was gross. I don't get how you see this as anything other than, like, fucking, y'all gotta give it, you gotta give them something.
She's like skipping through the snow and, like, high-fiving reindeer.
It's so fucking goofy and funny and, like, very Raven. I didn't think there was anything gross about it at all. Like,
no, I feel like this is a good litmus test of whether or not you'd like Bachelor in Paradise, because this is exactly what Bachelor in Paradise is like.
Yeah, exactly. And it was also, like, it's a pretty wild turnaround from how, up until a couple seasons ago, I really think it was Caitlyn's season, the fantasy suite was treated as this thing where, like, you either pretended like they didn't actually have sex in there, or they would show, like, splorch noises in the captions, and then never talk about it again. And so it was just, like, teasing it, but it was taboo that, like, it was taboo that any sex was going on in a fantasy suite
at all. It used to be very, like, Downton Abbey, like, maybe we see one shoe by the door,
which
and
is
that's
like,
what we get.
And that's how we get fucking gross shit, like, the back half of Caitlyn's whole season, which was just, you had sex with Nick before the fantasy suites? You made love on this show? How dare you? Which is such a, like, revisionist history piece of bullshit of, like, everybody fucks on this show. Like, well, the final three do probably most of the time. And so it's wild that there is this montage, this admittedly goofy, edited for humor montage featuring who is essentially, I love Raven to pieces, the comic relief of the remaining contestants, of just like, yeah, we had sex and he got me off. What's up? Like, that's a pretty fucking major turnaround from what this show has done. And I can't see it as anything but like a positive thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's always nice about these little montages they put together is you can tell they're done with the contestants' consent.
Yes.
Whereas most of the time, you think you're seeing something that's been edited kind of against their wishes.
There's no way they were like, hey, Raven, go frolic through the snow. What are you guys going to use this for? Don't worry about it. We're definitely not going to, like...
Go make some snow angels.
Yeah. Go high-five that reindeer. You're not going to make it look like a... had an orgasm, did? No, don't worry about it.
She knew what was going on.
We should also mention a caveat. We should have done this at the top of the show. We're recording this after the first hour of this 3-hour fucking parade of nightmares that they are trying to put us through today.
Yeah, we decided to watch the traditional episode, record, then go back and watch Woman Tell All.
Which this devil's trade-off of 1 hour one week and 3 the next is just unsustainable. Do you think you could do 0 hours 3 weeks in a row and then 8 fucking hours in one, like, non-stop rock block? It starts at 2 p.m.
I mean,
you'd have
to
come home from work early and we would have a 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. fucking just, like, nightmare block. I love this show, but we go to bed at 10 p.m. ABC.
Well, at least I do.
Yeah, I stay up until midnight and play Zelda. I thought this was good. I loved this. This was one of my highlights of the season. So it was a bummer to see people in the group just be like, I was bummed out by this. Because, like, well, I don't think there's anything nasty about this at all.
I think it depends on your context. Because it does kind of seem like you're trivializing that it seems to be kind of an upsetting thing, and now we're just going to pretend like Nick got it and won.
Yeah, pretend being the operative word there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, for me, it was like a big, it was kind of an important, like, important's not the right word. I don't want to call this an important moment, but, like, it's just striking to me that this show used to treat sex as this taboo fucking, like, look at the sex. Now look over here. No, they're not having sex. Don't worry about it. This is ABC. We're owned by Disney. To, like, yeah, I had an orgasm and now I'm going to go fucking, like, prance in the snow about it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fun. I'm just saying, like, I can see both sides.
Okay.
Next date?
Yes, please.
Next date is Rachel. And they are going to start their date cross-country skiing, which looks almost impossible.
God, I can't down-country ski. Like... I'm bad at skiing. I try to do the pizza wedge. Like, people are like, do the pizza wedge. I'm like, I'm doing the fucking pizza wedge. I'm fucking falling down on the blue circle garbage bullshit. And, like, 6-year-olds are, like, doing wild stunts over me. And I'm just a pile of garbage on the floor. This is like that, but you don't even have gravity's help to help you ski. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks like you're literally dragging your feet.
It's like having 6-foot-long feet.
It has to be exhausting on those calf muscles.
On those poor calf muscles. Rachel did not do so great with it. And I don't think... Nick was trying to act a big game. Did he do okay? Nick seemed better. Yeah, he did,
He seemed to be able to move faster.
Well, it's probably the type of thing that you need some fucking lessons to do.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, it looks very hard.
I don't want to do it at the top of my date. What are we doing after this? Like, I hope it's just sitting down. Can we just sit down for the remainder of the date?
Yeah, no, this is not, this is not like sitting around in a bar or playing darts like Raven's date.
Yeah. Oh, see, I would get so jealous. You made me exercise. And you got to drink weird green fucking Ecto Cooler. What was that? A lot of discussion in the group. Last week, Raven and Nick drank a bright green. A lot of people were like, it's probably absinthe or chartreuse. And it's like, it was a fucking mug. It was the goblet of fire. It can't be absinthe. That would kill you.
Somebody also said maybe an appletini in a beer stein. A
fucking beer stein? Maybe.
So after the cross-country skiing, they go to a Lapland safari, which has reindeer, which is where we got super hype about reindeer.
I love these big guys.
Oh, the fuzziest faces.
They got really fuzzy faces, and their antlers are
their antlers are fuzzy.
Their antlers are fuzzy. It's like God was just like making them. It was just like, no, why should we stop here with the fuzz? Keep it going.
You know, I love it.
They're not too big. You know, they're not moose big. You see a moose, and it's like, a moose can fuck me up. A reindeer I can just like kind of hang out with and have a good time.
Pet their little noses.
Pet their nose, pet their fucking antlers. It's fuzzy all over on these guy, on these I sons know. Of guns.
And then they go into like a shack that has a fire in it.
Yeah. It, also kind of a yurt.
And then they drink hot beverages around the fire.
Now that's my speed. Drinking hot beverages, sitting down, reindeer adjacent. Now we're speaking my language.
What do you think these hot drinks were?
I don't know. Probably hot ecto cooler. Like I don't know what they party on up here. Are they in Finland?
Yeah.
Okay. I get my Scandinavian countries all kind of higgledy piggledy, which I realize. I'm sorry. I've lived in America my whole life. I do want to go there though. Holy shit, it looks so nice.
And you're kind of proud to be an American.
Oh please no.
Get ready, guys. This little teaser for what's to come.
Somebody said that sentence out loud, and I said, boy, fucking howdy, this is going to be a good episode of Rose Buddies. They gave us a lot to work with this week, huh? Yeah, they go into this fire having small cabin, which kind of freaked me out a little
bit.
Yeah,
it was like a wooden shack that was on fire.
Yeah, and what followed was a conversation in which Rachel had given like a behind the scenes interview talking about how she was ready to say I love you to him. And Nick was also ready to hear it because holy fucking shit, does he say some stuff get her to say those words.
Yeah, he really teases it out of her because she talks about how she's afraid of rejection and that's her number one fear and how she's scared and Nick says that he's scared. And
then she says she's scared, and he says, well, I'm scared. And then he says, I'm scared. And it's like, I think they may be scared here.
Yeah, he says, like, oh, it's important for you to have the strength to be a bit of a mess. And then,
which is the most condescending thing you can say.
No, and then he says, if you were to check your ego at the door, what would your heart say?
that's not how that sentence works. It's also not like those two. Nick has a few conversations this episode where it's like he's stringing together a sentence out of like four conversations that he's just like kind of chopping and screwing a little bit. And this was one of them in that, like, if you could leave your ego at the door, what would your heart say? Doesn't make sense. Those two thoughts don't like combine together. But also you don't say check your ego at the door in like, there's not a nice, that's kind of a shitty thing to say to somebody. Mm-hmm. Check your fucking ego. You can't say it without adding fucking in it somewhere. Check your fucking ego at the door, Rachel, and tell me you love me, please.
Yeah.
How does her ego keep her from saying that she loves you on this? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it made it sound like, the only reason you could possibly be holding back is because you're just, you know, you're too proud.
Yeah, so check your fucking ego at the door. Don't you come in here so hoity-toity. Tell me you love me.
Which she does.
What's your heart say? She says,
well, I would say that I'm falling in love with you. And then kind of like, ooh, gets all giddy.
He says something back, but we skipped the pretty Bogota thing.
I was going to go back to it.
Yeah. He responds and says, I'm 100% falling for you too, Raven. Yeah. Rachel. Yeah. Sorry, they both start with Ray. I'm 100% falling for you too, Rachel, which is like, wow.
Yeah.
When fucking Vanessa said this, he said, not that. He said, I've fucked a lot of women on this show, basically. I've fallen in love with a lot of women and proposed twice and gone on many dates and have been successful romantically with so many women on this TV show alone.
So if I were to ever say what you just said, I would want to be absolutely sure that I was 100% committed to it. Whereas with Rachel, he just kind of lets fly.
Lets her fly.
Yeah.
Which, again, do want to stress this. We know they ain't getting married. Like, we know she's going to be the next Bachelorette. So at some point in this process, it's going to break down. And this is the only person that he has given this, like, validation to.
Yeah.
It's completely inscrutable.
So let's back up a little bit.
Let's back up, because we almost skipped a bad, bad thing he says.
Yeah. So the conversation we're referencing actually happened later in the date. But before that, when they were still in the fire shack, so Rachel was talking to Nick about how there's allusion to the weird volleyball date that we know is super edited.
Yeah, he says you kind of lost your mind after that date, which I guess maybe she was a little I don't know what the word I'm looking for here, but it was not very self-assured after that date, like needed some like assurance from him,
well,
I feel like.
Well, and the rumor out on the internet via Reality Steve is that Rachel and Vanessa had some kind of fight on that date that they didn't air. And so I'm guessing that's what he's referencing, that there was some kind of issue.
That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Like it would describe they shot that whole thing with that narrative thread and then had to erase that narrative thread when they realized that one of these women was going to be in the final two and one of these women was going to be the next Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And that didn't leave them with much footage. Like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Although I don't really see a downside to bringing drama to either of those women.
I think this show is so ass backwards that they think like
they have to do the fairy princess thing.
Yes.
Where, like, she doesn't have any flaws.
Well, do the wifey thing. Like,
yeah.
Because the fights are for Corn's the one who fights. She's the fighting one.
Okay.
Nobody else in the house can have a fight because Corn is the fighting one with Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay, Taylor.
Anyway, so Nick is talking about how he actually appreciates when she is vulnerable in moments like that and kind of reveals insecurity. And Rachel responds and says, oh, that's really rare that you're that way. Like, that's a really unique trait. And Nick says, I might be white, but I'm still a minority. Which Rachel kind of giggles about.
Because she, charitably. What else do you do? What are you talking? Where does this rate with Ben Higgins, I'm not that white?
That's exactly what I thought when he said it. I was like, this is his Ben Higgins moment.
Yeah, of course you thought that because this is fucking white dude saying like, well, I'm okay. I might be white, but nope. There's not a good end to that sentence at all. I'm afraid. White, I'm still a minority because you what? Because like sometimes
he's
your partners can be hard-headed and you.
No, he's saying that he is such a diamond in the rough, like such a incredible man that he is in the minority.
Oh, buddy.
That's
after
how I
last week
it.
When we were like, you know, this show handled a few conversations about race, and I think it did so. You know, fair to well. And then to follow it up with this stinkeroo. Boy, howdy, that was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But the love confession, it was so fucking forced, y'all. Like, Nick would not stop, like, so anything you want to say? Check your fucking ego at the door and tell me those sweet words, those three words I need so bad. And then it happened, and it was actually pretty cute, which I don't want to think it was cute, but it was really cute. Damn it.
So unlike Raven's date where they go to like a separate little fantasy suite with Nick and Rachel, they've already taken a sleigh ride to this little spot where they're having drinks. And so when it comes time to open the card, they get a key.
Same key, by the way.
Same key.
Yeah.
And they literally just walk upstairs.
To the sex room?
There's like a bedroom upstairs from where they are immediately sitting. And I don't know what they use the key for.
I think I told...
Griffin made a joke about...
I think
about,
he swallows it and then they make a game out of getting it out. You know what I mean? Like a fun party game? Just like getting it out of there?
Or maybe the key is to the drawer with all the fun...
With all the KY jelly.
All the fun things.
The fun things? Like what, babe?
Like the plastic gloves they put on.
Oh boy, wow, you went very okay.
For hygienic purposes.
Yeah. Kind of parting the curtain for our own sort of bedroom festivities for the people, but
And then there's another drawer.
Oh shit.
In that drawer.
What's in that one?
In the smaller drawer.
It's smaller. Okay, so I was worried about the size of it, but now you've told me.
It's like a series of nesting drawers. and in the smaller drawer.
Okay, so sort of a national treasure, like, puzzle situation.
like a babushka doll.
Okay. What's in the smaller fuck drawer? Tell me now, please.
In the smaller drawer is a smaller key. And then the smaller key unlocks the contraption that Nick wears.
Whoa.
To keep his
you're making a motion with your hand that the audience can't see, but I'm very intrigued by it.
To keep his package contained.
Zing. Like a cage.
Yeah.
Cage free Nick. Mm-hmm. Loving it. So that got pretty, so that
anyway, they spend the night together.
Yeah, they have a romantic evening together.
And then the next day, she's wearing little penguin PJs, and he makes her eggs, and they seem very in love.
So frustrating. They seem so in love.
They really do.
Because you know they're not going to end up together.
Yeah.
This was like, you mentioned that this was like kind of hard to watch because it was like a breakup train just like fucking very slowly rolling into the station.
Yeah, I felt like I was like on like a vigilant breakup watch. It was where like at any time it could happen.
It was like last 5 years. Like, you know, this thing ain't going to work out.
Last 5 years?
Yeah, that movie, the play, the musical, and the movie that had Anna Kendrick in it. It's about these two. It's about a couple, and they have broken up, and they start their stories on opposite ends of the relationship and meet in the middle. Mm. But the whole time, you know that they're broken up.
Like the Lake House?
God, you reference that fucking movie in every conversation we have about romantic movies, and I love you so much for it. It's my favorite thing about you.
Our Time Traveler's Wife is another one.
You pull that one out, too.
Sliding Doors.
Sliding Doors is another one that you love to mention.
No, see, I got that from you. You say Sliding Doors all the time.
I do say Sliding Doors all the time, but I don't say it as much as you say Lake House, which is in most conversations we have about anything at all. At our 2-month doctor's appointment for our baby, and they were like,
I did not mention the Lake House.
How's his mobility doing in his legs? They're like, well, it's basically like the Lake House, the movie with Keanu.
And Sandra Bullock.
And Sandy B is in it too. Have you seen the Lake House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you?
In theaters. Step to this.
Okay, I didn't see it in theaters.
Yeah, I didn't think so. It's a fucking combination. It's undeniable. It's my speed lovers. And they're in a romance movie.
Speed lovers.
They're lovers in speed.
I know. Okay, Vanessa's
date. Can you do me a favor before we move? Can you check your ego at the door? Stepping at me about seeing Lake House in theaters. I saw a lot of junky shit in theaters. Crazy Beautiful. Saw that in theaters. That's it. That's the only movie I've seen in theaters. It's Crazy Beautiful with Kirsten Dunst. Mm. It was okay.
Can we talk about Vanessa's date?
Yeah, we sure blew through Rachel's thing, but I guess we're talking about an hour of TV, so.
Yeah. Vanessa's date. Nick talks about, to us, the viewers, that hometowns got kind of serious, and things tend to get kind of serious with Vanessa, so he hopes they can just have fun together. And their fun date is that they are going to get in swimsuits and run back and forth between ice-cold water and a sauna. So they're going to hop in the freezing cold water.
Hurt themselves. Like, this would hurt very badly, I feel like.
And then run into the sauna. And then run back into the freezing cold water. And then run back into the sauna. Over and over again.
I, like, half expected them to, like, get out of the water the first time. And, like, Nick would have, like, 4 toes across his 2 feet. Like, this seemed brutal, man. Mm-hmm. This doesn't seem... It was funny to watch.
It was kind of fun because Nick was talking such a big game before. Like, we really need to appreciate
Nick's
this.
Nick's complete,
like,
collapse was amazing.
We really need to spend, like, 10 seconds in the ice water just to, like, really, really embrace the opportunity. And Vanessa's really kind of squeamish about it. And then it does a total flip as soon as they get in.
There's some phenomenon, and I don't know if it's that I expect that she's going to win, that makes me not, like, think about Vanessa fondly very much. But then every time she's on screen, I'm like, oh, yeah, Vanessa's fucking great.
Yeah.
Vanessa's really good. She was so funny in, like, forcing him to get in the water and stay in the water. And they would, like, run and jump in, and she'd be like, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, no, fuck this, get out.
Because the problem is we keep seeing footage of her, like, crying to the camera about how uncertain and insecure she is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so we don't get to actually appreciate what makes her,
I don't know,
likable.
I didn't see this, but I saw some people in the group say that they felt like she was getting a villain edit here at the back end. I don't think that's it. I really truly believe Vanessa's still going to win, especially now that we know who the final two is going to be. Like, I think Vanessa is going to win, and for another reason that we're going to get to here in a second. And I feel like in the final few episodes of this show, invariably, there is a tonal shift with whoever the winner is to cast doubt on their certain victory.
Yeah.
And it's a cheap and completely like transparent tactic to try to build drama, but like they've done it, no joke, at probably every season that I've been watching the show, save for Ben Flajanix, which came out of left field.
Yeah, I was trying to remember a specific season, because this is a tone that happens a lot where...
They did it with Whitney and Crystal, definitely.
Yeah, where they start talking seriously about the logistics of them being together.
That's the other thing.
And it seems like some of the passion is gone, because they're having these very practical conversations. But what they're doing is actually like, yeah, this is us in the end, so let's talk about this now.
That's the big thing, is like, you can talk to Rachel and be like, I've wanted for so long to tell you this, but I'm 100% falling for you. And you can talk to Raven and be like, I'm sorry that your ex-boyfriend didn't give you an orgasm. Let's get in there, into the yurt, and just like go wild.
Let me get out my sex gloves.
But as soon as you're like, you want me to go to lunch with your family every weekend, that is the relationship that's like... How long a drive is it from your apartment to your parents' house? Are we going to have to make that drive every Sunday? That's the fucking conversation where it's like, okay, you're making plans. So that's, I don't see how she isn't the winner just based on how previous seasons have like treated those sorts of conversations.
Yeah, it's weird because Nick almost seems to kind of pick a fight with her. Like after they've done this icy hot challenge, they go into a hot tub and Nick is like, your family's pretty traditional and I'm not at all.
They say the word traditional 80 times.
Yeah.
He says it about 79 of those times. And it's like, what are you?
And she gets kind of defensive.
I don't mean anything by it. It's just they have lots of traditions and my family. And she's like, your family came up with their own traditions? Why are we having this conversation? He's like, do you think we do Sunday with your lunch with your family every time? She's like, yeah, that's something I'm not willing to compromise. It's one of my core values. It's like my family is really important to me. And he says, you have things in your life that you're not willing to compromise on? Interesting. What the fuck, dog?
Yeah, this is when he starts his, like, maybe we're too similar. Do you think we're too similar?
Which doesn't make any sense. It's a complete fucking pivot. Like, I don't know that I want to... Your family's traditional and mine isn't, and I feel like I'm going to have some friction, like, going to your fucking lunch every Sunday, too. I feel like we're so similar, and that might be a problem for
Griffin,
us.
Griffin, it's because they both have core values, and that's rare.
So stupid.
Yeah, he seems to be like, look at you feeling so strongly about family. That is something that reminds me of me.
But I have another core value that has nothing to do with family, but it was just like, it was another one of those conversations that was just like, he was just sort of swinging from vine to vine, and the vines didn't make any fucking sense when held up next to each other. And it was just, oh, your family's so traditional, huh? Wow, you have things in your life, core values, that you're not willing to change for me. But I feel like we're so similar. Those are three completely distinct thoughts.
Yeah, that's why Griffin and I are both getting this kind of foregone conclusion vibe of like, they're not even trying to like learn about each other anymore.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh, this is how it is with us as a couple.
It's not uncommon for the Bachelor or the Bachelorette to have conversations with multiple people about the logistics of moving to their city, whether they're willing to move, whether you're expecting me to move to where you live in your city. But I think like when it causes friction, it's because the Bachelor or Bachelorette is actually thinking about it, is actually starting to think like, what if I moved to Canada? And this like leads us to just the fucking Nick's bon mot of the evening. Well, his second bon mot behind, I may be white, but I'm still a minority.
Yeah. So the evening part of the date, they're in another kind of yurt blanket situation. And they're back on the traditional talk about how traditional her family is. And
Nick's like, I like it. I like that your family's traditional. It's like new and I'd love to experience it. No, dog, that's not what it sounded like in the hot tub, bud.
And then she's like, well, you know, my mom and I were talking. That came later. So she's like, well, maybe we should talk about moving. Would you consider moving to Canada? And Nick says, well, it's not really easy for me to picture moving to Canada. And Vanessa says, well, why? And he says, not to sound corny, but I'm kind of proud to be an American. And then a little tiny American flag pops out of his nose.
His urethra.
And it waves.
It's cool. I don't know, like, cool.
He lights some sparklers.
Deal with his special apparatus that Rachel described earlier. It's just like...
He plays some banjo.
That statement...
Hits a baseball into the stadium.
Into a grilled cheese sandwich. It's just like the grilled cheese sandwich just explodes. It's just that there's... That statement has nothing to do with the conversation we're having. It's very important to me that we continue to live in where she live?
She's in Montreal.
Montreal. It's important to me that we live in Montreal. It's where my family is, and my family is really important to me. And, like, I can't imagine my life without, having lunch with my family every Sunday. Well, I'm proud to be an American, so I think, actually, we've got to do
my Yeah, he tries to hedge
line.
A little bit, but, like, whoa, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe. I mean, because, you know, like, it, like, I'll do a lot of things for love. And
she says, well, I'm proud to be a Canadian. And he's like, I know. I'm not saying you aren't. Okay, everything you're saying now is bad and wrong.
What would have been better is if he was like, I don't know, does Canada have Dancing with the Stars? Because that is my next plan.
Oh, shit, he is right. They announced that this past. Okay, who gives a shit? That fucking Mike Fleiss dude is like another historic announcement. On par with the one that we made last time. No, dude, it's not. It's super not. Yeah. And then all that shit came out about how Caitlyn was supposed to be on Dancing with the Stars, but apparently the producers of the show, like, forbade her from doing so. Mm-hmm. Boy, this show's fucking yucky sometimes, man. Mm-hmm. I forget what I was talking about. Oh, it's just like, I have a lot of national pride, so unfortunately, we're doing my one. It's like the most whack shit you can possibly say. And they peeled it back enough so that in the last scene, when they were having this conversation in the hot tub, it really seemed like they were having an actual conversation about, when I get engaged to you after you win this TV show, where are we going to live? And for him to fucking pull that line out in what seemed like an actual conversation about this was like, boy, howdy, it was pretty cringeworthy. Sorry, babe. Like, if you and I, if you're like, I want to move back to St. Louis, and I'd be like, sorry, proud Texan over here. That's no good. That's not a good argument for this situation.
No, because it's like assuming my pride is actually going to outweigh whatever your feeling is.
Also, like, you're getting a fucking ticket to Canada that you can use to at least ride this thing out for 4 years. What the fuck is wrong with you not jumping on that real fast? Yes, please.
Well, plus you can tell he loves a sweater. You know, he loves to wear a sweater.
He looks good in a sweater. He looks good in some cable knit hats. Mm-hmm. You're a fool, Nicholas, if you don't get up there. This is the best you've looked here in Finland. I had that thought. A little bit of that.
Oh, really?
Some of that boyish curly hair poking out of a cable knit hat. Like, yeah, that's a good fucking look.
You got tired of the deep Vs?
Tired of the deep Vs. Okay. It's just good. A different, it's like a different spice, you know?
And
they hook up, whatever.
Well, we should bring up the point that since everybody else is talking about love, for some reason there's this again where Vanessa has to say she loves him again.
She's like, I've decided tonight's gonna say it to be the night where I say I love you. Did she say I'm falling in love with you? Are we really on that level of fucking high school romance level?
Yeah,
shit?
I don't know. She's already said it. I don't know why they made her like do this big thing where she says it again.
I just can't with that distinction anymore. I've said I'm falling in love with you. Well, now the act is completed. Congratulations. You've been upgraded to our fucking platinum membership.
I will say he does the exact same thing with Vanessa that he does with Rachel, where when the card arrives, of course the woman reads it, because for some reason the like guest always has to read it. And then as soon as they finish reading it, Nick goes, thoughts?
Do you think they make the guest read it because otherwise the bachelor could just be making shit up? Just like he pulls out any card that he bought at like a gas station. It's like, dear Vanessa, please go with Nick to the fantasy suite and just hog his brains out.
Should you choose to forgo your individual room, you will have to do mouth stuff.
Do mouth stuff at least. Love Chris Harrison. I don't
know.
Weird, but that's what the card says. Anyway, oh, it's in the fire. Anyway.
Um, And we get another one of those next morning, messy hair, wrapped in blankets.
Which, I had a thought. Can I tell you my thought?
Yes.
A cameraman just doesn't hang out in the room and turn his camera on in the morning at some point. At some point, cameramen and camera operators and a producer come into their room like, knock, knock. Hey, you guys up? All right, we're just going to set up and shoot you right now. So get in a sex position is definitely a conversation that happens. And that thought like made me wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, like maybe they'd already gotten dressed.
It is. Yeah. It's,
and then there's like a, no, you're going to need to take that off and get it back in bed.
It's so easy to suspend your disbelief like watching this show during transitions like that. But like, and this is another thing, and I don't want to sound like an asshole, but like that making the TV show kind of ruined for me is that I know they have to set these shots up and it takes an hour to do it. It takes a really long time to set it up and get all the lighting right and like get them in makeup and then lay them down in the bed again like they've just like post-coital Bond movie scene. Like,
yeah, and I have to imagine, like, because we see different types of things, like sometimes the bachelor or bachelorette and their guest will be in robes drinking coffee, sometimes they'll be in bed half dressed. I have to imagine that people kind of set the terms when the camera crew arrives.
Yeah.
Like, what are you comfortable doing?
Yeah. It's just that thought of just like, hey, they didn't just kick the door in and start filming fucking like guerrilla documentary style. This is a shot they had to set up. Get a little bit neuter, please, for me.
I think it'd be funny. You know what would be really funny? Is if they like had thrown their clothes like all over the light fixtures and stuff. And the next morning, they like take the clothes down and it's like, oh, how did this giraffe get in here? And then there's like a weird like, you know, like they play it up to be extra wacky, kind of like, you know, like what crazy stuff happened in here? Because there's a hippo. What? Kind of like The Hangover, the movie The Hangover, where there's like a tiger.
Which one's that?
There's like a tiger in there or something.
There's a tiger? There's a movie about a tiger? It's Life of Pi is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that must be it.
I'm sorry to just let you just kind of ride that one out by yourself.
I thought we would have like a fun improv together.
I didn't know what you were doing with that improv, though. I was confused by it.
The idea is that you can stage it however you want to stage it when the camera crew arrives, so you could set up a really kind of wacky, suggestive scenario for the viewer.
Like the movie Hangover. I remember now. Maybe you just dumped a bunch of oil cans all over the place and just covered the room in just crude oil.
Yeah, and like all the sheets have been lit on fire.
Yeah, all right, I get you now.
You see,
it's fun to make pretend. When you use your imagination, anything's possible.
If you'd been with me from the beginning, this would be a very funny thing.
I'm with you, babe. Can we get to the rose ceremony, please? I'm so excited that we get to talk about a fucking rose ceremony on this podcast.
There is a rose ceremony. I wasn't sure there was going to be one. The women are dressed very fancily.
Yes. Rachel's outfits have been like fire this whole time. I'm still thinking about that skirt when you pointed it out that had like the shorts underneath it.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. A lot of people in the Facebook group have bought that skirt.
It's wild. I don't understand how like I've never had this ability when like some sort of garment is on a TV show and people are like, where can I find that skirt? And people are like within 10 minutes are like, I found it. How do you find, do you just Google like skirt with the shorts in it and it's split?
I don't know, but you know who does it is Charlene in her recap blog.
Oh, Charlene. Yeah, Charlene's got a finger on the pulse.
She's a fashionista.
Man, I miss Charlene.
I know, me too. Okay, so everyone's dressed in these like really nice, elegant floor length gowns, and Chris Harrison is there talking to Nick outside of the cabin, and it's very cold. And then Nick starts his little speech, and he's already kind of emotional, you know, thanking the women for being there and how much he cares about them. The first rose goes to Raven. And then that means that Vanessa and Rachel are standing there.
And I told Rachel, like, if Vanessa doesn't get this rose, like, I have no idea what this season is going for. I would have been into it, but if Rachel, who we know does not win, I guess, made it into the final two, like, my mind would have been completely shattered. But
so Vanessa gets the rose, which means Rachel is going home, which is very emotional to watch.
I even said, I was like, this is going to be really hard to watch, despite the fact that I knew for the past, what, 3 weeks now that she wasn't going to win?
Yeah.
It was still like, oh, man, I really don't want to watch these two say goodbye to each other.
Yeah, she tells him, you know, that she's glad that he knew how she felt about him. And he says that she's one of the most incredible women he's ever met. And that he doesn't want this to be goodbye forever because that's too hard to think about right now. And then he sends her home in the limo. That's it.
That's it. It was tough to watch. And then we get into the women's hell all. It was a bummer to watch Rachel go home. She did so fucking good on this.
Yeah, I hope they find some good dudes for her.
I hope they find some good dudes. That's what it comes down to now. I mean, I also hope they don't make her boring, because I have been excited. I was excited about Andy. I was excited about Caitlin. And in both of those situations, like, the Bachelorette was just kind of a boring foil for, like, all the wacky, zany characters. Like, yeah, invariably, that's the role that the Bachelor
and Bachelorette kind of
fills.
Excited about Nick, too, because some people are really good at commentary, like show commentary, and he definitely was. But we didn't realize with show commentary, you have to reveal how you're feeling about people, and Nick is not allowed to do that at all. And so he became very bland very quickly. Yeah. So hopefully that won't happen to Rachel.
But yeah, let's, you know what we should do now?
Hey, Griffin.
Yes.
Can I steal you away? That one was a little funky.
It's not over. Every 10th episode of Home Improvement, they put that one on there, where there's like an aftershock, and they just make you look at the title card for like 15 seconds. So anyway, we got sponsors this week who paid us some money to talk about their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it? I'm the only one that has it open, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to actually talk about this first one, because it's Try the World, who offer healthy snacks, and they sent a lot of Rachel-friendly stuff.
Yeah. Okay, this is a snack delivery service, and what makes it kind of unique is that the snacks they provide are super, super healthy, and from all over the world.
Yeah.
So I got really excited about it, because there's a lot of, like, coconut kind of snacks and fruity snacks and vegetable snacks.
I feel very bad, because we get a few, like, food delivery services, and, like, all of them are soy and dairy rich, I would say. Rich in soy and dairy.
Yeah.
Like the dairy soy bombs that I get from the soy dairy company, and you can't party on any of that. And, like, pretty much the whole box they sent was all Rachel approved. And I actually got jealous. I don't want to eat your, like, the only food that is in the house that you are able to eat without Henry getting sick. But
yeah, so I definitely
really
ate. I definitely ate a lot of them. So Try the World brings you 5 all-natural healthy snacks from 5 different countries. So if you want to check this out, go to trytheworld.com and get $10 off your next box of healthy snacks with code ROSEBUDDIES.
That's us.
That's us. You know what they said at the top? They said, "Hello, we are very excited to be working with you. We love the uniqueness of your voice."
Ooh.
I mean, they probably say that to everybody.
They're talking about you, right? You have such a good radio voice. I can't believe this is the first, like, radio thing you did. Did you do, like, a radio show or anything like that growing up, like in college or anything like that?
Nope.
It bums me out that you didn't have a college radio show.
I know.
You would have done so good. I would have tuned into that.
Well, no, because college radio is like...
That's not true. I had a college radio show, and it was
that was Death Cab for Cutie.
Okay.
That's what all the college radio I listened to was.
No, you listened to snooty college radio. You didn't listen to my awesome 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. college
radio.
Were
you like, "Hello, this is Griffin.
This is Griffin." Here, let me have that. Because I want to talk about Blue Apron. I don't need the phone to talk about Blue Apron, but I want to know what the recipes are to talk about. Rachel and I have been using Blue Apron for a long time. They are a friend of our whole family of podcasts. And what they do is, for $10 per person per meal, they send you a box with pre-portioned ingredients to make seasonal, great-tasting meals. Some upcoming recipes include salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips, spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice, We've been doing this for what, like 8 or 9 months now, and like I've learned how to cook using this and have made like the top 10 best things I've ever cooked in my life have all been Blue Apron meals, basically.
Yeah, the meat and produce, like all the ingredients are really high quality, like a lot better often than you'd find in a grocery store, which is nice.
And the recipes are really great too, like really, really flavorful. And it's not like there's no shortcuts. It's not like mix the meat paste with the sauce goo. It's like
you're not rehydrating shrimp.
It's all up to you. So you do kind of have to learn how to cook a little bit to like make these meals like the best that they can be. And it's like, it's fun. It's really, really, really fun. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I want to tell you how to get the best Blue Apron offer that you can get as soon as my fucking iPhone 6 unlocks. Here we go. You can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/rose. Go check it out. You're really going to have a lot of fun. We tell like all of our friends to go do it. And like, I do not feel like a gross shill evangelizing as much as we do for this product, because it really has like changed my life.
Maybe,
it's great.
Let's say maybe you're bringing a fancy date back to your house and you want to cook a meal for them before you watch The Bachelor. This would be a way for you to make a real fancy meal without having to go out and find all sorts of ingredients you're not familiar with.
Now we're talking.
They'll already be in a box for you.
Maybe they'll let you take it to the squirt yard.
Is that in the copy?
That's what it says. Blue Apron, take them to the squirt yard. I have a Jumbotron here. Can I read it?
Yes.
It's for Presley, and it's from Meredith, who says, "My sweet baby brother, I love you even more than you hate me for convincing you to watch The Bachelor." That sounds about right. Thank you, Griffin and Rachel, for helping me initiate my brother as a member of Bachelor Nation. Love, your big sis, Meredith. P.S. You are the Slytherin, not me. Ooh. Can get tricky. Designate. What do you think you are? Because there's a right answer. I definitely know what house you belong to.
I have no idea, but you've told me before that I'm Ravenclaw, right?
Bums me out that we've had this conversation before. But
well, there were some people in the Facebook group that were determining our houses for us.
You're definitely Ravenclaw. A lot of people say Gryffindors because it's right in there. Yo, Hufflepuff for life, if you don't think I'm going to be like getting smoked out like nonstop with my buddies and like not taking shit serious, but I show up in a pinch and cut that snake's fucking head off with the magic blade, you do not know me at all.
Can I read the next Jumbotron?
Please do. Here, I've got it loaded up for you.
Thank you. This message is for Megan. This is from Lars. Megan, I could not ask for a more wonderful partner to live life with. I knew we were soulmates when you took my family history to evaluate my genetic fitness on our second date. 10 years, 2 kids, and several zags later, I am still totally in love with you, Lars.
Lars, this is a good message. Nice? Also, that is some good, that's a good shrewd business practice you've got there. I love that. I wish we haven't done that with each other. We don't know what our genetics are going to be like. What if they line up our double helixes and it's just a frowny face?
I mean, we have a baby.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
we're gonna see a little bit.
He's cute. You're right.
He's a real cute baby.
He's very cute. He's got very dry skin, though. Damn it. It's that just our genetics. Damn it.
Lars and Megan have 2 kids, so they probably have a good sense, too.
Yeah. Thank you very much for letting us be the arbiters of that sweet love message.
If you want to get a Jumbotron, you can go to MaximumFun.org. We are already booked into June right now. So if you're looking for some summertime messages, it's a good time to get in there.
Hey, babe, do you know what's coming up?
Ooh, Max Fun Drive.
It's the Max Fun Drive. It's coming up really, really soon. So this is our first Max Fun Drive, being a member of the Maximum Fun family. And we're very, very excited about it. So the Max Fun Drive is coming up. And we're working hard on some of the best episodes of the year. You can tune in during the drive to catch these extra awesome episodes and hear about the exclusive thank you gifts we have in store for new and upgrading members. They are seriously amazing. Plus, it's your chance to help support Rose Buddies and help us reach our highest goal ever, 10,000 new and upgrading Max Fun members. That's across all of the shows, and that is like more than we've ever shot for before. And
hey, you know what? We have 10,000 Facebook friends.
Hey, what's up? Every single one of you chips in. We're good. So the 2017 Max Fun Drive kicks off March 20th, and it runs for just 2 weeks. Visit MaximumFun.org for details, and don't miss it. The Max Fun Drive is really, it's important to us because we are supported in a major way by the podcast that we do, and it has turned into a career. And the reason why we are able to do the things that we do, like a fucking TV show, like all of the live shows that we do, like launching Rose Buddies, is because of the support that we get. And okay. the financial support that we get from y'all every Max Fund Drive. And
can I say the best part?
Yeah, please.
The best part as a donor is you get access to special bonus content.
Don't give away our...
I won't say what we're working on, but it will be worth it.
There's machinations afoot that I'm extremely excited about. So yeah, we know it's not everybody's thing, right? Like if pledge drives on the radio bum you out or whatever, like I don't, whatever, fast forward through the spots, but otherwise we're gonna probably put out some longer length episodes, and we're gonna have that bonus episode ready for you, and there will be gifts for everybody who's a member of the family, but mostly like you get to take ownership of this thing and help support us make this thing that we love so very, very, very much. So we're looking forward to it. March 20th, it kicks off, runs 2 weeks. And again, the bonus episode's going to knock both your butt cheeks right off your body. You're fucking sick. Let's go watch the rest of this garbage show and get back into it.
Okay.
This TV show can chomp my gooch.
So we just watched The Women Tell All.
And it was a fine women tell all, as fine as they can fucking be, I guess.
Oh, but they're so bad.
Literally, the last thing we heard is Chris Harrison say, "Join us next week for our 3 hour finale. You're gonna take another trio of my hours 2 weeks in a row, huh? Because it's like bedtime. It's like way past bedtime, and we have to do this. And we have to do this podcast more. Love this podcast. Love this audience. Love this TV show. Don't love doing it when it's in the sleeping hours." And the baby's sleeping hours. Let's just burn through The Women Tell All because nothing of substance really happened the whole time.
Yeah. They make a lot of Corinne, of course.
There's a lot of fucking Make Corinne Great Again and Make America Corinne Again hats. And
there's also a lovely audience member in a shark costume.
That's good shit. It's the one that we own now, and we're going to have to figure out some way to put it to good use. I did see the only Corinne piece of merchandise that I saw in the audience that I actually really dug was a shirt that somebody was wearing that said "Emotional Intelligence is my jam," which is actually a pretty fun quote.
Nice.
Yeah. What else, Liz?
We got some nice Liz moments too.
So Liz came out there and I apparently like they made a thing out of like how she has faced sort of a lot of judgment and, you know, I guess social media shit after being on the show and having it revealed that like her and Nick had hooked up before, which like maybe this is so idealistic of me, but like I can't believe that anybody like was upset by that.
She says
all.
She's from small town Nebraska.
Okay.
Like from what it sounds like, she's from a community where, you know, they didn't appreciate
that she had had sex before. Like literally that's all it boils down to is she, regardless of like that she was on the show with the guy that she had hooked up with before. Like the thing was that she had hooked up before. And that was what like set everybody, I'm not doubting that it happened. I'm not like doubting that she's faced that judgment. It's just like crazy to me that like, I don't know.
And the thing, the women kind of rushed to her defense because she'd been kind of funneled into this one note character.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, that's the nature of the thing, beast. Yeah.
Like she didn't have any defining traits other than the fact that she had had sex with this guy at a wedding.
Right. I'm so sorry, everybody. That was unprofessional of me. Everybody, this was the first thing that we got, and I've talked about this so much during this season, and that like these women just love the shit out of each other. These women are like, with a couple of exceptions, these women are just crazy about each other. And so when Liz is up there and talking about how it's been difficult since she's been off the show, like everybody ran to her aid and was like, listen, everybody saw that, I think it was Haley who said, everybody saw Liz and saw that she was this woman who had had sex with Nick before, but like we saw her as this woman who goes and, you know, digs wells in other countries and like is this great humanitarian. And it was a really sweet moment. Like every time that anybody would like come to the defense of whoever was in the hot seat, like pretty much every woman would be like, yep, like cheering for
her. Liz speaks specifically to the relationship she formed and said that she's drawn a lot of strength from them, so that was nice to hear.
It just drives me fucking crazy. I will say this every episode, it drives me crazy that we did not get to see those relationships build outside of like the goofy ass like end of episode bloopers.
Well, I mean, do you want 3 hours every week?
Because I don't want 3 hours every week. I want fucking 2 minutes every week of just like people being friends and hanging out in the house and getting to be buddies with each other. Yeah, I want that. Absolutely, I want that.
Yeah.
I take fucking 6 of the hours that you dedicated to Korn and Taylor and give it to that. That would be ideal.
Are you counting the hour they put in tonight? Because they definitely put like an hour into that drama.
Hey, folks, straight up, this is Griffin and Rachel speaking. We fast-forwarded through a lot of that. Sorry, but you didn't make us care the first time around, so I very much doubted you were going to make us care the second go-gin.
Yeah, there's a lot of time spent on, like, will they apologize to each other? Will they bury the hatchet? No. No, they won't.
I still stand by, like, whatever, both of them did gross stuff. But, like, yeah. I still stand by the fact that, like, Taylor did definitely use her, like, education and her, like, knowledge of things that Corinne didn't know about to, like, make her seem small on a television show. And, like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, I was telling Griffin it was frustrating to me because there are definitely a lot of behaviors that Corinne demonstrated that you could complain about.
Yes.
And for some reason, Taylor seemed to focus on aspects of Corinne that were just really petty. And so it made Taylor look bad, and it didn't allow anyone to really get to the issue that I think a lot of them had with Corinne, which was, you know, fair. But yeah, then we get to spend more time with Corinne, and Corinne gives a really kind of noble explanation of her relationship with Raquel.
Yeah, so she explains her mom had ovarian cancer and was like dying, and so they were like making preparations for her mother's death, and in that time they moved to Florida and Raquel moved with them just to like be with their family as they went through this really tough thing. And she says, and this is something we've actually struggled with in talking about Raquel, and so it was kind of surprising to me that like Korn had a way of addressing it, where she said that she uses the word nanny as a shorthand because to her, Raquel is this genuinely very important person in her life who it sounds like actually helped her get through some really tough stuff and has been an important member of her family unit. And so it would be kind of unthinkable to call her like a housekeeper or a cleaning lady. And so she uses nanny, the word nanny, just because she doesn't want to be disrespectful or diminishing of how important a person she is in her life, which is like, I've been waiting on this explanation literally the entire season.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm glad that we got
it was nice, but let's not forget that this woman still makes her bed.
Yes. Well, let's also not forget that this show used this woman as a prop
yeah.
to like make this woman's entitlement really shine through.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I don't know that it was some positive, but like, I don't know. I feel like that was a nice thing. And then I feel like it got back into Taylor and Korn. Honestly, just like in this conflict between Taylor and Korn, Korn was the one who came out looking like more mature in the whole thing, which is just like wild.
Yeah,
because
Corinne made the point, and it's pretty true. Like, Corinne was never really on the attack.
Except for when this, like, completely, like, manufactured drama between her and Taylor started up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she never said anything, really.
She said stuff kind of dismissive about the other women, but she was never hateful, really, until she felt attacked.
Yeah, mostly she just, like, took naps and just, like, rented a bouncy castle and like
kind of
tried to recreate that one scene from Varsity Blues, and
yeah,
that's really it. And she makes the point, and it's like every villain worth their salt makes this point of like, I'm here to get the bachelor or bachelorette's attention, and you all are focused on me, so don't do that. If you were really here for Nick, then you'd be here for Nick.
And
that's such a fucking salient detail, because guess what, Raven and Vanessa didn't get bogged down in that shit, and here they are, top two.
And then Corinne gives everybody cheese pasta.
Yeah.
Which is a nice moment.
It doesn't look very good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just looks like pasta with shredded cheese on it.
That's literally all it looks like, gang.
But you did make the point. There's moment.
I want to see this. Somebody please do a screen. I hate asking this of you to like go back and rewatch this 3 hours of quagmire that we just waded through all together, but there's a shot of fucking Taylor holding this bowl of cheesy pasta, like not looking like she's into it, and that is my fucking mood board right now.
And then we spend some more time with Christina.
Yeah, not really much new here.
Yeah, she kind of retells her story because it's so powerful. Like, even hearing it again, it's still emotional.
I'll be honest, I got a little uncomfortable with how much prodding there was by Chris Harrison to be like, but here in America, it's so fucking great, right?
Yeah.
A truly American story. And, like, it is a powerful story, but, like, I don't know, it got, maybe just my fucking metric is very finely tuned these days, but it just felt very, like,
Well, we just heard Chris say, or not Chris, we just heard Nick
say, I'm proud to be an American. Maybe, but it hit me as just like, isn't it just so fucking great to be here? Thanks.
Yeah. Aren't you so lucky?
Aren't you so lucky to be? Yeah. And like, you know, I based on her story, it sounds like she is, but there was just a lot of like, ain't it grand? Ain't she a grand old flag?
This does give Liz an opportunity to kind of call the women out for bickering about naps when there are women like Christina who are like so mature and strong. And she tells all the women that they should be building each other up and check their privilege.
The fact that they are all sitting on a fucking sound stage right now having arguments about naps. I do want to circle back one thing about Taylor Korn. It was a really great moment. There was so much arguing about fucking naps. It was so stupid. Like, you love naps. No, you're the biggest nap person. You're the one who took naps all the time. Taylor, you took naps all the time. During one of these arguments, and there were several, one of the women in the back row chimed up and said, Taylor, you literally have a shirt that said nap. What does it say?
Nap queen.
Nap queen on it. And Taylor was like, oh, it was like this.
She's like,
fucking,
well, I like naps. Yeah,
I can't. But like, it was this fucking Phoenix, right? Like, I have a piece of evidence here that's really going to shut this down. You have a shirt that says you love naps on it. So what's up now? Okay, fine, Bachelor. You got me to talk about fucking Taylor and Korn once.
Yeah,
with interest. Fine, you did it.
And then they bring Nick out.
I love Christina, by the way. I really hope she gets in BIP. I really do.
I almost don't want her to be disgraced with BIP. Bip can be gross.
Bip can be gross, but like, I don't know. I think she would do really well. All these women are such good buddies. They'd have such a good time together. I want all the women in this season of Bip to just be from this season. I can't, you know?
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good. And Charlene can come back too.
Charlene would never do Bip.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Nick comes out.
Hi, Nick.
And Nick's like, it's my first tell-all, which is remarkable because he's been on 3 seasons of this show.
Chris dunks on him, and Chris is like, yeah, it's because you keep being the runner-up. And Nick is like, wow, thanks. He's like, yeah, you keep getting your heart torn out right there at the very end, so you don't have to come to this one. I think these two are really good buddies, and I wish I knew more about their friendship, because they've fucking been professional colleagues now for like 3 years.
Yeah, no, they've done a lot of work together.
Yeah.
And a lot of travel, too.
A lot of travel.
So Nick has the opportunity to kind of compliment some of the ladies. He talks about how one of the things he really respected about Corinne was that she was always taking risks. He talks about Christina and how much he respects her and how hard it was to send her home. And then Christina kind of says, well, what was I missing then? You know, didn't we have all these great things? And then this is when Nick starts giving agency to his heart again and says, well, something in my heart said that something wasn't there.
As this dude's go-to move. Just, it wasn't me. It was the heart.
I can tell you right now, I think you're great, but my heart's somewhere else.
But in his defense, and I'm not going to step to his defense very much at all for the remainder of the season, but like, what do you say? Like, you told me in the one room that you thought you would love to meet my family and that we had a really special connection. Yeah, I said that to 8 people that night. Like, I'm sorry that you weren't the one that it stuck to, but, like, I said that I want to meet your family to 8 different people, and I could only take 6, so I'm sorry that it wasn't you. It was just, like, I'm dating 8 other, like, I'm dating other people. I'm sorry.
No, and he does say that, but the thing that he also says that kind of starts to annoy me is right after Christina, Danielle L. says, like, why'd you take me on that 2-on-1? It made me feel like I didn't deliver something you were looking for. I wish you just would have sent me home. And he's like, listen, I know what it's like. Like, I've been there at the end on 2 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course you want to get sent home. You don't want to be dragged along to the end. And this is when I started to be like, okay, Nick, we get it. you have experience, but that doesn't mean that these women aren't allowed to tell you anything.
Yeah, that's your fault that this has happened to you. It's your fault that you're sitting here now after doing this a few times. Like
it's almost like so he doesn't have to hear their concerns. He just has to be like, okay, yeah, no, I know. As you'll recall, I've also been on the show.
But I also think in his mind, he thinks he has had the worst experience of anybody who has ever been on this show, no matter what, because he got jilted at the altar two times. And that's unthinkable. Nobody's had it harder than me because I got dumped twice in the final two. Can you believe it? Runner up two times. So anyway, I know that I destroyed your heart in St. Thomas, but I got dumped two times. So what's up?
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't find him particularly enjoyable. He seemed very like political while he was on the show. Like
he's
like, thank you for telling me your concerns. I appreciate hearing them. And it just felt gross to me.
He is I think he's good at what he does. And what he does is like worms his way out of pretty much any conflict that has been thrown his direction this entire time. I don't know how to justify my admiration of Ben Higgins, the Axeman, in that regard. I feel like Ben Higgins was a little bit more honest about it. Like, I think he owned.
Yeah, he had a way of eliminating people that really, like, seemed so satisfying, like, seemed so unique to the woman he was eliminating.
Yeah, I don't think there was very much, like, my heart just wasn't, you know, that intangible factor. He was very much like, I am sending you home because you are too short. Bye. Like, he was very matter-of-fact about it.
I feel like most of the women that were eliminated left the conversation feeling like, yeah, nope, that tracks. All right.
All right, you're right. I'm too short. What's up? Bye.
And then we get bloopers.
They're good bloopies.
Which are always good. Usually they involve bugs flying on or around people.
Around people, yeah.
And then we get to spend some time with Rachel.
The bloopers were also like, oh, these women all really love hanging out with each other. There was extended throwing food into each other's mouth, which is like, that's the shit I'm interested in, is like the, you guys are prisoners in this house and you can't do anything fun. So like the stuff that you do to entertain yourselves. And so it seemed like the mouth food to mouth throwing game was interesting. And then seeing how many of these like huge cheese cubes fit into her face.
She could put a lot in there.
Yeah, she could. And again, I've talked about this too. Like, I don't think anybody in the house really hated corn all that much, except for Taylor, apparently. But like, she was always applauding when Rachel came out as the next bachelorette. She was applauding whenever like, you know, Liz was telling her story. She was applauding. Like, she was very...
And a lot of the women jumped to her defense.
Yeah.
Or, like, apologized specifically for not being cool with whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
then we get Rachel.
Rachel comes out. And it's interesting because she does a lot of the, like, I'm really excited, I'm really honored. And then Chris says specifically, you're our first... African-American bachelor or bachelorette, and Rachel kind of says like, I'm excited to have that responsibility.
Yeah, she says the word that I keep coming back to is I'm honored to be the first African-American person to like have this, the responsibility of this position. She says, how does she put it, she says, I don't necessarily want it to be the whole focus of my season, although it is something that I'm like happy to like acknowledge and have be a factor, which like,
I have no idea what to expect. We have no idea to go on at this point.
It's gonna like, I don't know how this show's gonna do. It's really weird. Like I'm thinking about it in traditional bachelorette terms and like, boy, I hope there's a fun cast of boys. And I hope there's some good boys in there, and I hope there's some fun having good boys in there, and I hope that they don't make Rachel too boring like they do with the main star of Bachelor or Bachelorette, like they do. Like, you love them whenever they're a contestant, but then when they're in charge, like, they don't get as much fun stuff to do. Boy, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't even know how to factor in, like, I hope this show, like, does a good job of having its first, like, black star. I just have no idea how they're gonna. I have no idea how they're gonna handle it, and I don't know how much of an emphasis they're going to place on the fact that this is our first black bachelor and bachelorette. And if they do place an emphasis on it, whether or not they'll do it in like a good way.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be smart for them to bring in some consultants or just kind of acknowledge, like, we're out of our element here.
It doesn't seem like their style, though.
No,
I'm pretty sure everybody making this show is fucking full-blown, unreal, like, we got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so excited for Rachel to be the Bachelorette, though.
I am, too, but I feel a little burned for all the reasons that you said. You know, like, as soon as somebody becomes the lead, they have to almost dial back their personality to make room for the show.
I loved Caitlin on, whose season was that? Chris Soules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember because, it was so gross when Caitlin and the other woman had to, like, fight it out for the spot of being the Bachelorette that season. That was so
shitty. Yeah, Britt.
Yeah. God, that was shitty. But I loved Caitlin. She was hysterical. Like, she was one of my favorite contestants ever, and then when she was the Bachelorette, it was just like, eh. They didn't give her anything fun to do. It wasn't like she changed or whatever and became boring. It was just, now you're in charge, and so there's all these responsibilities that you have to live up to. So, unfortunately, in fulfilling those responsibilities, you're going to be boring as hell. I just really hope that they don't do that to Rachel.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say is that when she came out, all the women were so excited.
Everybody was.
They were all standing up and, like, praising her and what a good Bachelorette she was going to be. And then one of the women said, and I really appreciated this, she's like, we'll take your leftovers.
That was really good. So, all of the captions were like, no joke, when she came out for a minute, the captions were just like women yelling. Like, it couldn't even break it down because everybody was just like, yelling like how much they loved Rachel and how great a job she was gonna do, and like we just didn't see that their friendship form, but whatever. Yeah. And that was the Women Tell All. Boy, I think we burned through that pretty fast, but hey, it's a Women Tell All.
Yeah, this is literally, and I think it's the same with Griffin, this is my least favorite episode every season. And
yeah,
and
the bloopies are
don't
good.
Like talking
it's
about
just
it
just like it's just that you know they're going to dedicate at least like 30 minutes to an hour to the Badlands episode where they manufacture some bullshit drama that nobody really gave a shit about.
We should thank people for some gifts we got.
Yes.
So I wanted to thank Cassie for the caramel she sent me. She heard about my dairy soy situation right now and that I can't have either. And sent me some really nice caramels to kind of itch my sweet tooth.
I'll scratch your teeth if you need me to. That's kind of a
so anyway,
strange
thank
request.
You.
This is more probably of a Mim-Mim thing, but we just got it, and I'm so in love with it. Somebody sent a Mac the Turtle sort of replica, which was a wonderful wooden turtle that I found while shooting the Mim-Mim TV show. It was Ashley and Tyler. Thank you both. I hope you're listening. And thank you to everybody who sent stuff to our PO Box. It's PO Box 66639, Austin, Texas 78766, if you want to get in touch.
And thanks for all the postcards and wedding invites and letters we get.
We get a lot of really, really sweet stuff. And a lot of it is like, you help my blank to watch this show with me. And now it's like a thing we do all the time. And I'm so happy that that we're bringing folks
sort
together.
Of.
Well, kind of. I wish we were doing it for a more wholesome I was just like, thank you for bringing us to watch the Great British Baking Show. It's like, well, you're welcome. Unfortunately,
Or thanks for bringing us together to do this great charity work. That would be.
It doesn't have to be a TV show. Huh? There's other stuff. Yeah, dang. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us. Go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows. Again, the Max Fun Drive is coming up, and we got some exciting stuff coming out that we are really looking forward to showing you. I guess let us know in the Facebook group, and I'm sure people are already sounding off there, like, what we should do after this is over. Because next week is the finale, and then we don't really know what we're going to do.
Some definite contenders are the season of Are You the One?
Terrace House, Aloha State, we've talked about doing. Or talking about the ending of Terrace House, although I feel like that ship has pretty much sailed at this point.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a good ending, though. We have some stuff that we can talk about.
We could always watch Trista's season, too.
Yeah, I thought about that, the first Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I also thought it might be kind of fun to go back and watch Ben Flajanic's season, because it was my first season of watching the show and just seeing how it's I don't know if we could find it anywhere. If you're new to the podcast, there are pretty big gaps between the next thing after this is Rachel's season of The Bachelorette. That'll probably kick off in, May, June?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll have about a month, month and a half long gap. And during that time, we usually watch other kissing shows. And then after her season, we'll probably end in probably around late July, August. And then
Bachelor in Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise starts off pretty much right after that. There's not much of a gap there most of the time. And then after that, we have The Long Dark, where we just have to talk about any old shit.
We'll find a lot of overseas shows on YouTube during that time.
Yeah. Hopefully by that time, Terrace House Aloha State will have finished up its run. We'll be able to get back into that, and we'll be on to a new Terrace House. Basically, I just want all TV shows to be Terrace House at this point.
For sure.
Anyway, that's it, right?
Yep.
Cool. Let's go to bed.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy.
When you're ready.
Final Rose. Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
Right reasons.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max FunCon has been a huge inspiration in my life.
Now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.